Let's just come together in prayer. Father God, you walk with us, and you love us, and we so appreciate your love. Open our minds, open our ears, allow us to hear the lessons that are important to each one of us individually. In your name, amen. When Jesus took up his cross, he was acknowledging vulnerability. When you Google Jesus follower, you may end up with this definition. One who chooses to follow Jesus, trustfully obeying and submitting to his will by faith, even when it extends understanding. To follow is defined as to go after, to pursue, to track, or to tag along. Through the teachings of Jesus, our lives can be changed, and we will be able to face our trials and to move forward in our faith. I'm reading from Matthew 16, verses 24 to 27. And then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." Jesus calls to each of us personally. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I believe that this was said to all believers, not just his disciples that were there on that day. Now, when we say we're going to be his friend, it means that we are going to be his friend, his companion, his follower. It doesn't mean, hey, I'm going to add you to my contact list on my computer, and ta-da, you're a follower. It's much more than that. A follower will trust and obey the teachings of Jesus. His followers suffered in fear at the notion of Jesus being rejected and suffering at the hands of others. They were horrified at the thought of him being hung on a cross. The Romans had only hung the worst of the worst, and this is what they believed about Jesus. And now Jesus' followers were being asked to prepare for the same kind of treatment. Peter had even stepped forward and said, "We won't let this happen," to Jesus. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan," as he knew that the cross was a necessary step in his life. The cross would be needed to be part of his story. It could not be taken away. Jesus knew his life would be a life of sacrifice, and his followers believed that also. They knew their lives would be lives of service for Jesus Christ, a life of serving others. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is a German Lutheran pastor, an anti-Nazi dissident, who strove to save as many Jewish people, especially children, as he could. And he stated, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die." Bonhoeffer centered his ethics on how the reality of the world and the reality of God were reconciled in the reality of Christ. Without Christ, we are in trouble. He had written, "It is not a religious act which makes a Christian, but participation in the suffering of God and the life of the world." He explicitly criticized the Nazi regime and called for solidarity to all who were persecuted by the Nazis. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was eventually taken to the Gestapo prison in Berlin, and then he was moved to a concentration camp where he was hung in front of the other prisoners. He had saved many children before his death. He had walked to the camp, I believe, I had read that he had walked to the camp with children. In his final letter, he had written, "This is the end, for me the beginning of life." Faith. An example of faith would be in a biodome, which is not planted in the earth, it's its own entity. Trees had been planted, and they grew so beautifully. But as soon as they got tall, they fell over. And they fell over because they didn't have roots to grow down, and they didn't have that energy to stay up. And we tend to get that energy when we're pushed and pulled and tugged and annoyed, right? Things happen in our lives that bring us pain, and we come back because we believe in Jesus. Agony sometimes, and we come back because we believe in Jesus. We get that experience of sadness and of joy, but we get to experience the love of Jesus, which brings us back to be even stronger. It is important to make the choice for Jesus in your life. When you commit your life to Him, you then make that choice day by day and sometimes moment by moment to follow Him. Our cross to bear is following Jesus. He loves to walk before us, and He loves to walk beside us. Are you inviting Him on every journey of your life? Are you inviting Him into your home, your place of work, your community, your church? Taking up your cross and journeying on is a one-way ticket. It is never meant to be a round-trip experience. However, when we feel that agony or we feel depressed, and we give up hope, all we need to do is turn to Jesus, and He brings us back. He accepts you, and He loves you for who you are. Your life will be transformed by the Holy Spirit. Your thoughts, your feelings, your behaviors, your relationships will all change when you choose to follow Jesus. Denying oneself is not about self-promotion. It means to live as an others-centered person. Others-centered person will send Wawa cards to their friends. We'll call a friend to make sure they're okay. We'll visit a friend. We'll pray with a friend. Put that desire in your heart and be determined to obey His will as an others-centered person, as a Christ-centered person. Please do not become a dabbler in your faith. I think we all know a dibble dabbler, right? The person who dabbles in faith as long as it fits into their life, their schedule. Ask the Lord for the opportunity each day to demonstrate your love for Him through your words and your actions. You will gain life, an everlasting life, when you take up your cross and you follow Him. Romans 14:12. So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. God is going to review every life and reward or rebuke each life. We heard some very funny stories about Jake's father. I hope it's okay. I didn't ask for your permission. Interesting, loving, funny stories about Jake's father yesterday. And I just pondered, like, he and Jesus are probably still, he's probably still waiting at that pearly gate to get in, because Jesus is probably going, and tell me more, and I want to hear more. Just a interesting life, and blessed. He was very blessed. You know that he was the turret gunner, so he went out in 25 flights during World War II, and he sat in the top where he only had that plexiglass top. Like, his life was totally in God's hands. Amazing man. A Christian is a person who has the desire to follow Jesus and has a longing to be loved and belong to a community. Isn't that so important in today's world, where we all sit at home and we're all in front of the computers? We need community. We need community. A Christian yearns to become fully what he or she is meant to be when choosing to follow Christ. When you choose to follow Christ, you are renewed and you are transformed. You receive mercy and grace. This is from Jake's father's funeral as well. 2 Corinthians 4, 16, 17, and 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What a beautiful message to share when you have the opportunity to share with your whole family. And Jake and Donna chose those verses. Doesn't matter how much money we have, what cars we drive. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What is unseen is eternal. Are you living for Jesus? Are you caring for others? Based on our activity we did last week, living the gospel activity, when I reread the passage, I was thinking of the lesson that God wants us to know. He says, do not lose heart. Do not become depressed. Do not give up. Do not become grumpy. Why do I have problems with this? Well, there are times where I like sit down and my emotions take over. And in that moment, I'm not spending time with Jesus. And I'm not looking forward to the future. I'm stuck. Does that happen to anyone else? Well, how did Jesus follow this rule? Well, he was able to stand against Satan, knowing his reward would be in heaven, and Satan kept pushing and pushing and saying, you can rule the world. But he stood against him. And I want to be like Jesus. So what can I do to follow this rule, this command? I can remember that the strength of Jesus, the strength that he had as a full human being here on earth, was amazing. And it was a gift for all of us to learn. And I can rejoice that he ascended into heaven. And I can continue to pray and ask specifically that Holy Spirit come to me and work in me so that I don't give up. I don't want people to look at me and think, oh, a Christian is a person who mopes, or is depressed, or is angry. I don't want people to think that. And I don't want to feel that. I want to pray and rejoice in my blessings and look to the future. Some of Paul's trials led him close to death. But he used the experiences to become a more to become more effective in his life-giving ministry. Each one of us as believers has a life-giving ministry as well. Others could see how in the midst of trials and suffering, Paul did not become discouraged. Jesus himself had the opportunity to gain all the world, but if he had chosen to follow Satan, but he found his life and victory in obedience instead. We are asked to give up our selfish ambitions and asked to give up our own selfish, sinful ways and to take up our own cross. Whoever loses himself for my sake will find it. Those who give their lives to Jesus and choose to live an others-centered life will become genuinely happy. You will find peace. You will have many reasons to rejoice. We are blessed to know our hope is found in the power of the resurrection. The Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory and with his angels. We will be rewarded for following Jesus and for participating in this world as the hands and feet of Jesus. When people ask me, how is Wellspring Church doing? I let them know, we are doing well. Let me see. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. We may be 11 or 12 strong, but we are the hands and feet of Jesus. And then I say, thank you for asking. I recently read this. You don't lose a seed when you plant it, though it seems dead and buried. Instead, you set the seed free to be what it was always intended to be. Through your lives, you have been planting seeds. Through your lives, people have seen Jesus. Through your lives, people know that there is hope in believing. Your good works will be recognized, and they will not be forgotten. Do you desire to follow Jesus Christ? Are you able to reject the worldly ways, many that have gotten so out of control? Are we able to reject them? Will you invite him to be with you each day? Start with a great big thank you to Jesus every morning. Are you submitting your life to him? Take up your cross and follow him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, please give us the strength to be your disciple and to follow you every day of our lives. You know what is best for each of us. Help us to hold fast on to your truth and to your commands. Reveal to us our weaknesses and give us the strength to grow in these areas so that we can be better examples to everyone we meet. We know we will bend and fold under certain circumstances, but we are grateful, Lord, that you are right there with us, encouraging us to stand up, encouraging us to be strong. You are with us always, and for that we give you thanks. Amen.